fighting for America.
Our two priorities for this year are to increase the compensation for teachers. In Wyoming, for instance, beginning teachers make $43,269,000.
Fighting for Idaho.
We have a number of things in place to help keep parents informed. Through our Facebook page, we can post things. We've got a Sky Alert. We've got an instant messenger to keep parents informed of what's actually going on.
Fighting for you.
So when you get all the other stuff out of the way, all the politics and all that, our desire is to prepare kids for what we think is a bright future.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award.
Good morning!
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the Morning, promoting our school, securing our future. We're joined by Micheline Giorso, a homeschooling mom, and we'll speak to her son coming up. And it's very much an honor to have the folks here that have taken time out of their day, out of their curriculum, out of their schedule to come and share their homeschooling success. Of course, we're at the schools all the time, and why not take advantage of the Christian homeschoolers of Idaho State? And that's what we're focusing in on today. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
Let's talk a little bit about your experience. What has led you to homeschooling your children?
You know, when my husband and I first got married, we knew another family that homeschooled, and I probably had a little bit of a critical idea of what homeschooling was like, and I was the one that asked in the beginning, you know, well, what about football games and the prom? And it's really been a journey since then that's led us to this place where now we've graduated our first child.
Well, if you could expand on that a little, and heaven forbid we ever look at homeschoolers critically, but please take us through your learning process on it.
You know, I read a book that was really helpful in just showing me what life could be like raising your children at home. And then I thought it was important that we sort of form a mission statement, or, you know, why are we doing this? So that when things got tough, we would have something to go back to. So my husband and I sat down and we said, why do we want to do this? And so we came up with the fact that we wanted to, disciple our children at home, and then B, that we wanted to be able to direct their education.
I would imagine that would be easier said than done.
Everything is always easier said than done.
That's why we live in the land of talk radio. You know, we just say things and we don't do anything. However, you're a doer. Talk a little bit about the socialization, because you said you had concerns about football games and the prom. That's probably
right.
The biggest objection that we hear about homeschooling.
Yeah. You know, I think it's really incumbent upon the parents to keep their children properly socialized. And I think in our culture, we think of socialization as in, you know, 5-8-year-olds on the playground. And in my eyes, that's not what socialization is. And we were just really purposeful when our kids were little to practice hospitality. We always had other couples over for dinner, other families over for dinner. And our children got used to being articulate and being able to carry on conversations with adults and children that were older than them and children that were younger than them. And I think that's really where the socialization begins.
How is homeschooling different from the traditional classroom?
Well, they can pet the dog anytime they want. But it's different in the sense that I can choose their curriculum, and so I can tailor it to their strengths and their weaknesses. We can spend more time doing the things that are enrichment opportunities that maybe we couldn't do if we were locked into, 7 hours in a classroom.
How many hours a day do you put into educating your kids?
We probably, now that I have high schoolers, we probably do just as much as the, the local high school would.
So you've done this from the very beginning, from elementary through the...
We have, yes.
That's quite a long list of curriculum, I would imagine.
It is. We have many bookshelves in our home.
Many bookshelves, indeed. What was challenging for you? Because you know how it is. People come home and kid has the homework and you don't understand it. I mean,
right.
Having that responsibility,
Well, I will not pretend to understand all of my children's high school level work, but the nice thing is that homeschoolers are very networked. So when we get to upper level math and chemistry and things that are not my strength anymore, we can turn to the greater homeschooling community, and there are many opportunities to be in math classes and chemistry classes and Spanish too, and things like that that aren't necessarily every mom's strength to teach at home.
Right. I was going to say, you know, when you, as a former high school teacher, you know, I taught history, a little speech, a little debate, but that was my specialty. But when you're teaching your kids that are high school, you have to still have, you know, you got to go to the chemistry, the this, the that, everything else, like an elementary school teacher.
Really. Exactly.
You know, was time management your middle name or?
You know, it's kind of a learn as you go. I think maybe homeschooling is intimidating for some people at once because they think, well, I'm not super organized or I'm not a good time manager, but you figure it out as you go along, and it just all works in the end.
Is there a proper way to separate it? You know, when couples work together, you know, they bring the business home. When you're homeschooling, the school's already there.
Yes. You know, it does help to have a separate room if you can, where this is where we do school, and then the rest is where we do life. We actually have a homeschool room that we never use, and so we kind of store our books in there. But just homeschool happens in life, and really, that is the beauty of it. And I've kind of come to figure that out over the years, is it's just a part of our life. And so we don't separate it really anymore.
What would you say to someone like you that initially was skeptical, but now not only you're a believer, but you're a homeschool teacher?
Right. I don't know. I think a lot of people think that homeschooling is a calling. And so I talk to moms all the time that say, oh, wow, I never felt called to do that. I think it's an opportunity more so than a calling. It's an opportunity to disciple the hearts of your children at home, to teach them your values, to give them great opportunities to socialize, not just with their current grade level, but with all grade levels and with adults. And they have opportunities to shadow someone in the workforce and start thinking about what they might like to do or what they're bent towards when they're much younger than maybe some of their public school counterparts.
What will be your fondest memory once all your children graduate? And I don't know what you'll do with all your free time, but what will be the takeaway for you as a parent?
That's a really good question. I don't know that I've really thought that far. I would love to be able to volunteer in the homeschool community as my kids all graduate. I love what we've done over the years, and I just would really enjoy giving back to that.
Any other advice that you'd like to give to folks?
I would just say, just to believe, if you're considering homeschooling, believe that you can do it, and believe that it's not some special calling or some people are cut out for it, others aren't. All moms can homeschool. And I would say that is probably, I don't know, the biggest piece of advice is just that anybody can do this.
Oh, we appreciate your time. See, it was very painless. Thank you. All right, it is 7:13, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580-KIDO, promoting our schools, securing our future. Phone number is 580-5436, 580-KIDO. We are taking your calls on a few issues of the day. Obviously, what's going on with Bo Bergdahl? Here's the very latest from our own James Rosen.
In a lengthy statement released by his lawyer, Sergeant Bo Bergdahl speaks out for the first time, saying he wasn't seeking out the enemy when he abandoned his post in Paktika province in eastern Afghanistan in June 2009. Rather, the statement said Bergdahl was seeking the nearest U.S. Army general officer so he could report, quote, disturbing circumstances involving his unit. Bergdahl's statement also details cruel conditions for his captivity, including constant isolation and being beaten with a copper wire. The case has proved contentious for the Obama administration, which federal auditors have found broke the law by failing to inform Congress in advance of the swap of those five Taliban figures in exchange for Sergeant Bergdahl.
There you have it, James Rosen. Now, Megyn Kelly and our own Sean Hannity had A lot to say on this, but at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, and coming up, we'll hear from our own Grinnell Scott. The issue that I would like to hit is something that Representative Perry talked about with the Associated Press, that we've talked about. 5 years in captivity, 5 years being held by the Afghanis. Does that preclude punishment? Now, the punishment for Sergeant Bergdahl are five factors that we've taken a look at and available at our website, 580kido.com. And one is life in prison. One is 5 years in the brig. One is they take away your rank. They take away your pay. You know, death penalty off the shelf on this one. This is a tough one. You know, I had a chance to take a look at just the plethora of information yesterday. You have the five Taliban folks that have been released that now can go back to creating havoc. And for us, it's words. For the people of Afghanistan, for our troops, it's actions. You have the issue involving talking to terrorists, the Susan Rice comment. And I, as I was kind of putting those together in a blog last night, I was thinking to myself, okay, the talking heads are going crazy judging the situation. Through the Uniform Code of Military Justice, isn't it up to the military to judge, right?
That's the question, is how could the White House, A, have made the deal, but B, have allowed that Rose Garden ceremony with the President of the United States standing there next to the parents, knowing they had to have known, did they not, of his circumstances?
It is hard for me to believe that they didn't know, and it's also hard for me to believe that how this actually happened. I remember as it unfolded, sitting back and watching, saying, they are talking in such absolutist language that they are going to be proven wrong at some point. Now, I think what the White House will try to do now is say, we believe in the system, we're going to let this play out, he's not been proven guilty yet, we'll let that play out. And they will hope that everybody sort of gets over this story in the next several weeks. But there's no doubt it's a permanent stain on the White House. Now, if I am just, let me just put myself in the White House's shoes tonight. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I understand when they say that we had to bring him back.
Right.
But they did not have to have the Rose Garden ceremony. And I think what happened is they got enamored with this idea of what the story was going to look like and how the movie would play out in their minds, that President Obama would be a hero and the parents of a prisoner of war could be in the Oval Office and walk out to the Rose Garden and speak to their son. And they loved the theater of it.
Well, the theater apparently was wrong. Now we come down to paying the freight. What should be the fate of Bo Bergdahl? By the way, on our poll site, we've got over 50% saying life in the brig. Your thoughts, your views next. By the way, we're promoting our school, securing our future here on 580KIDO. Time for traffic now.
Promote our schools, secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union. We love teachers. Now back to Kevin Miller and the Christian Homeschoolers of Idaho State on 580KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
7:23, Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, more of our friends from the homeschoolers. Phone numbers here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO, covering the big story concerning Bo Bergdahl.
I know we lost at least six soldiers. Is six the number? And how many others were injured in the search for him?
First of all, you know, I refuse to call him Sergeant Bergdahl. He was promoted in absentia because he was incorrectly classified as a POW rather than a deserter. Secondly, I'd like to commend the Army for taking this bold move. Yes, we led the search for him. We knew at the time that he had walked off his post and that he had put us in this position. And the disturbing thing was that the Taliban knew that we were pulling out all the stops to look for him and were feeding false information into our informant networks. So they were baiting us into ambushes. In one case, they baited us into a house rigged to explode. Thank God it didn't. But soldiers died looking for him. And importantly, much more difficult to quantify, are the number of soldiers and Marines that didn't have the things they needed. Helicopters, Predator drones, resupplies, because they were all diverted to search for Bergdahl for a period of several months in 2009.
But people died, as many as six, maybe more, and many others were injured. That's a fact, right?
That is a fact. Okay. In fact, I testified next to the father of one lieutenant who died last June.
There you have it from our own Sean Hannity. Joining us now, the G-Man, Grinnell Scott of Fox News Radio. Good morning.
Hey, Kevin. Good morning to you.
Good to have you with us. So the Bo Bergdahl situation continues, now charged. What's the latest, sir?
Well, the latest is we're kind of in a holding pattern at this point because we know, and to use the military's term, an Article 32 hearing is coming. We understand that will be at Fort Sam Houston Fort Sam Houston in Texas. And from there, they will determine if a court-martial and or a trial is to follow to see exactly what kind of punishment will be coming to Bo Bergdahl.
Certainly, Grinnell, this story is getting a lot of attention from a lot of factors, from the administration to Congress to the press. And you just wonder, you know, what took so long. And a lot of analysts have been going on. There's a lot of things that can happen from life in prison to other punishments for Sergeant Bergdahl.
Absolutely. And we'll go through the punishments, and I'm sure you've gone through it this morning, but we'll do it one more time. The desertion charge is there. There's also the misbehavior before the enemy. Now, you would think the desertion charge is the more serious charge. It is not. That only carries 5 years. The misbehavior before the enemy is the one that carries life in prison, possible life in prison. Now, both charges will also come with dishonorable discharge, reduction in rank to private, and a loss of benefits. But it's the misbehavior before the enemy charge that most people are looking at right now. And there are some people who have debated, okay, five or six people died looking for him as far as during his captivity. The death penalty should be on the table. We understand that's really not going to happen. That's not going to be a part of the discussion. But in many cases, there are people who believe it should be.
Colonel Scott joining us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. And, of course, this hearing will get a lot of attention. But the military is very different from a civilian court. And then you have Sergeant Bergdahl's attorney saying that he was captive for 5 years. He tried to escape 12 times. This should be taken into consideration.
Yeah. There are many people in Sergeant Bergdahl's corner who say, you know, isn't the 5 years he spent in captivity enough? But you know as well as I do, we both have spent time in North Carolina where Fort Bragg is, where Camp Lejeune is. And there are many people in that state who are very partial and very supportive of the military. And when they hear a story like this and someone who besmirches the military's name, you know, there's a whole lot of backlash to that. And I remember being down there and talking to people as this case was playing out. And they say, you know what, we understand the U.S. doing everything it can to rescue military personnel who are held captive, but there is something about this that really doesn't add up. With those charges that were officially announced yesterday at Fort Bragg in North Carolina, we see that the military has had their questions and they want them answered.
Grinnell, if you could expand a little on that culture at Fort Bragg, it's, you know, I don't know how you define it, but duty, honor, country, those are actions, not words there.
Yeah, absolutely. And anyone in the military, you ask that, duty, honor, country, it's sort of the credo and the mantra that they live by. To sign up and to fight for your country, I have personally never done that, but I am very appreciative of those who are willing to take up that mantle and do that. As a matter of fact, there are people who are very passionate about what the military means and the honor that it means to stand and wear the uniform and to fight for your country. So when they see something like this, perhaps some dishonesty, walking off of your post, putting your comrades at risk, they don't take very kindly to that.
Now, from what I heard, my sources tell me that during your time in North Carolina, that you were recruited by the Delta Force, because that is the home of Fort Bragg. And I'm such a goof. When I was on Fort Bragg, I said, hey, can I see the Delta Force? And they still deny it exists. Can you expand on that?
As far as my recruitment for Delta Force, I can neither confirm nor deny that. I don't know where you got that from.
I made you laugh. So.
I know. Yes, you did.
Colonel, thank you very much. And once again, very proud of what you're doing. Thank you so much for joining us.
Kevin, thank you. Always good to talk to you.
Take care, sir. Colonel Scott joining us, Fox News Radio. Coming up next, our salute to homeschoolers continue here at 580 KIDO.
Road our schools, secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union and Chick-fil-A. Now, back to Kevin Miller and the Christian Homeschoolers of Idaho State on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
And Anthony Guierzo with us at 580 KIDO, a homeschooled student. Now, you're in your junior, sophomore?
Sophomore year.
Sophomore year. What type of topics have you been learning, and your thoughts on the curriculum?
Well, I've just been going through chemistry right now and then some geometry and college algebra stuff. Obviously, I keep up with some of my grammar and that sort of thing, but those are my main subjects right now.
No, we're not going to be doing any triangulation or any geometry here, so rest assured on that one.
Okay.
Tell us about your day. What's your day like? Again, most of us, you know, we get up, we go to a place, whether it's work, whether it's school. Heck, you get up and you're at school already.
That's definitely an advantage. I don't have to get up as early as public schoolers probably do. But I just pretty much get up in the morning, read my Bible, come downstairs, eat breakfast, start my schoolwork, usually before breakfast, and then continue through breakfast and on through the rest of the day.
Tell me about reading the Bible. Why is that important to you, and why do you do it?
My parents have always brought me up believing that it's a good thing to read your Bible in the read your Bible in the morning. To start off the day with close to God.
And what does God mean to you?
God is my Savior, and He sent His Son to die on the cross for us, and I believe that wholeheartedly.
Well, we appreciate that. Talk a little bit about the challenges of being homeschooled. It can't all be fun, can it?
I believe most of it is fun. I think maybe once in a while there's some things that I maybe wish I was homeschooled, or not homeschooled, public school, just because... you know, there's a little bit, as being at home, my mom's teaching the other siblings, and there's maybe some more distractions, but I definitely would take that over being public schooled.
Sure, and so you start your day, you read the Bible, you read your Bible, you have your breakfast. Take us through the classrooms. What's it like? Because, again, a lot of people would like to homeschool their kids, would like to know what it's like, and they might be a little intimidated. So what's your day like compared to, let's say, public school?
Well, you know, I think I'm definitely able to spend more time on the subjects I lean towards, that I'm more strong in, and so I think that's one of the great things about homeschooling is my mom's able to tailor our curriculum to what our interests are, and then what curriculums stress more on the things that we are better in, and so I think that's one of the definitely big advantages to homeschooling over public schooling. We obviously don't have like a bell schedule, but we have different areas in our house that each of us can do school if we're getting distracted by other kids doing the exact same subject or whatever, but just a grade lower, and so that's just a nice advantage to it.
What's life like outside of being homeschooled as far as friends and socialization and activities?
Well, most of the friends I have come from my church, but we definitely have like lots of outside things. I'm in a choir. We have, over the summer, we have rec nights where we just get together and play sports and hang out and fellowship, that kind of stuff. I do cross country and track with my local high school. But, yeah, that's just some examples of some things we do with outside of our homeschool life.
Sure. So what's that like as far as, you know, doing the cross country and such?
I like doing cross country. It's one of my favorite sports. And it's just fun getting out of the house sometimes. And I feel like running helps me in a ways to get my schoolwork done through the rest of the day. It's something to look forward to, and it definitely helps me.
Now, when you graduate, what would you like to do? What are your goals?
I'm definitely going to go to college, I believe, and I don't know exactly what degrees I'll be getting or hoping to be getting. Probably something leaning towards accounting or engineering.
And why do those interest you?
I've always been kind of a math kind of guy, I guess, and my mom and dad always believed I was bent towards building and engineering, that kind of stuff. So I guess that's probably the reasons why.
And finally, what would you like to say to folks that are considering the homeschooling route for you that is homeschooled and it has worked out well for you?
I would say just do it.
Just do it?
Just do it.
Boy, that's a short answer. Well, Anthony, thank you very much. Anything else you'd like to share with us?
No, I think that's it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Continued success.
Thank you.
All right. Phone numbers here, 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Promoting our school, securing our future. Thank you to CapEd and Chick-fil-A and to you that want to make sure that the Treasure Valley is a better place. We are taking your phone calls on a few issues as well.
Bergdahl was released as...
And we'll get back to
part
that.
Of a controversial exchange for five top Taliban leaders at Guantanamo Bay last summer. A Rose Garden announcement by the president alongside Bergdahl's parents and statements by the White House about Bergdahl's heroism raised eyebrows.
The point is that he's back. He's going to be safely reunited with his family. He served the United States with honor and distinction.
But this celebrating was short-lived. Bergdahl did not want to see his parents, and his fellow soldiers began to go public with their disgust.
He knew what he was doing when he deserted us.
We know he faces the possibility of life in prison, but if Bergdahl is found guilty, Martha, would the Army take into account that he was a prisoner of the Taliban all those years?
He is represented by Eugene Fidel, a former military attorney and current lecturer at Yale Law School.
The case has been politicized in the sense that some people in our democracy have seen this case as a way of hammering the president of the United States.
Later, one of the Taliban prisoners tried to re-engage in the fight in Afghanistan, but was stopped. Upon his release, Bergdahl's parents appeared in the Rose Garden with President Obama. Little comfort to Sandra and Andy Andrews, who lost their son Darren in Afghanistan, and claim he was killed while searching for Bergdahl.
He's not a hero. He's a traitor. You know, he's a deserter. He left his post in war.
And there we have it. Your phone calls next at 580-5436. 580-KIDO. We start with our friend Two Fly Bri in Meridian at 580-KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Are we chatting homeschool or Bergdahl or?
Well, you decide. You be the judge. Well, you go.
What? Appreciate it. I do homeschool. We do homeschool our children, and the last student who spoke to you did highlight one thing, in that there is a high benefit of what is known as dual enrollment, that is homeschooling, but enrolling in perhaps music or sports or other activities within the public high school. So it's not like you have to choose one or the other. There is a good balance that can be met in the entirety of your education of your kid with that in mind. And also it helps, you know, when they need driver's ed. Driver's ed's a little cheaper in public school through them than through a direct driving school. As such, we recently found out with our daughter. But homeschooling overall, like the previous student noted, we get to tailor our education of our kids and find out where their interests are. You really look back at the classic education, traditional classic education over the centuries. They, by the time a person was 16 years old, they were working on what was the equivalent of their bachelor's and had their master's, if not their law degree, by the time they were 20 years old. And we so much are focused in the public school system on getting them educated to get them in some sort of job that they can earn more income for the sake of taxes coming back to the government. That, I think, is the wrong focus of the education system, because that's really what the government is after. Let's get them pushed through, get them just enough educated. Let's not worry about what we educate them on. We'll just give them a list of stuff to meet so they can meet this minimum job requirement of maybe, you know, $14 an hour better if they can, so we can get more income. And that's where I have the biggest challenge with the bankrupt education system, public education system we have this day.
Brian, thank you for the call.
Yep.
To our own Megan Kelly, Linda from Emmett at 580-KIDO.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning.
I got to listening to you do the Bo Bergdahl segment, and if he truly did desert, as everybody around him has said, he needs to be court-martialed, he needs to lose all his benefits, he deserves a dishonorable discharge. But the five-year prison sentence, if that comes up, I don't know. I think he's been in a prison of his own making for the last 5 years. And to put him back in a military prison, has anybody stopped to think of how much it would cost?
Well, you've got people at 580KIDO.com at our poll saying you should get life in the brig.
Well,
not 5 years in the big house.
Well, It's going to go the way it's going to go, Kevin. I mean, you know that as well as I do. However it goes is the way it's going to go. But, you know, there was so much hype and stuff about it, and I think people lost touch with the reality that, A, one of our guys can and did desert his patrol, but nobody really wanted to come out and say it, early on, because...
Well, I mean, a lot of folks speculated that here in Idaho when we were doing our campaign to raise awareness for Bo. I had people take me aside all the time and warn me about it.
Yep. I just, something's not right about this mess. And I can't put my finger on it, but it is really making our military. I mean, we've cut our military down so far that it isn't even funny. And then the Bo Bergdahl thing pops up, and they release 5 criminals back to Yemen, and they're going to be under house arrest. Yemen's falling apart.
Yeah, and we can't have Yemen falling apart. Linda, thank you for the call.
Okay, thanks, Kevin.
All right, we appreciate it. 580-5436. 580-KIDO, your thoughts on Bo Bergdahl as we continue. Let's get you to work. Safe.
Promote our schools. Secure our future. Brought to you by CapEd Credit Union and Chick-fil-A. Now, back to Kevin Miller and the Christian Homeschoolers of Idaho State on 580-KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
I mean, you have those who also, on the opposite end, vilifying him. Again, this is someone who was held, for 5 years by terrorists. Is that not, this is what some say, is that not punishment enough?
Well, no. I mean, if he is found guilty of desertion, which we don't, we need to let the process play out, then that crime holds with it its own penalty. And, I certainly think that will play out the way it's supposed to. I think what concerns me more than anything else about this is that it's becoming such an issue right now is that it could actually cause us to lose focus on the thousands of men and women that are over there still fighting right now, that have done multiple tours over there. And like I said earlier, with President Ghani here in the United States, we're at a critical juncture right now with what our follow-on policy is going to be in Afghanistan. And I think what we've got to watch here is not letting, it's a bad thing, desertion, if he's found to have done that. But there's much larger strategic fish to fry here in Afghanistan.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. So there we have it. Nobody cares about Ghani. President Ghani was in town saying that he needs more troops. The president, our president, giving it to him.
September 11, 2001 was not a distant image that I watched on the emotionless screen of television. It was horrific and it was personal. I was in my office at the World Bank when the first plane smashed into the World Trade Center and forever changed the lives of each and every one of us.
President Ghani has requested some flexibility on our drawdown timelines. I've consulted with General Campbell in Afghanistan, my national security team, and I've decided that we will maintain our current posture of 9,800 troops through the end of this year.
There we have it. So more folks in Afghanistan, more controversy over Bo Bergdahl. Kevin Miller with you here at 580-KIDO, taking your calls at 580-5436. 5 years in captivity. Is that enough? Should he have life in prison? 5 years in the brig. To the publisher of the Gem State Patriot, Tea Party Bob at 580-KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you today?
Living the dream.
Just a quick comment on Bo Bergdahl. Having spent 6 years in the Navy myself, this man should get life imprisonment. There should not be any special arrangements for him. He left his post. He went to the enemy, and regardless of whether he tried to escape or not, the grass is always greener on the other side until you see the size of the lawnmower. I'd like to talk for a minute, if I could, about this homeschooling that you have on. I think these parents should be commendated for what they're doing and applauded for giving these children an education at home and not in the public schools. Most parents nowadays, they look at our public schools as a daycare center and the teachers as babysitters. The fact that the state government is spending $5,000 on commercials promoting the SBAC test, got to ask yourself, why do you have to promote a test that your children are going to take? And the only answer I can come up with is parents don't want it because of its length and its intrusive questions. You know, Common Core SBAC test is nothing more than big business for our schools. If they don't get 95% participation, the government threatens to cut off funds to them. But this has never happened. And by the way, it is unconstitutional. Will be proven so. The parents that do actually allow their children to participate in the test are doing the wrong thing for them. They don't have to allow them to do it. It's not a requirement, and there's no way to force them to do it. And they should back out of it. This is the only way to stop this. Our superintendent of education should be looking for an alternative to this test. We've talked to our legislators about this. We've tried to get a hearing for this, and we haven't been able to do so yet. We're not going to get it this session.
Hang on, Tea Party Bob. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Good morning, Dave. 7:59, promoting our schools, securing our future continues. Fox News with the very latest on that airplane crash. Apparently it was deliberate. Details coming up here at 580 KIDO. Kevin Miller with you. Thank you for sharing your morning with us. More to come. No flipping. KIDO.